Ramsey TV.
Hi, everybody. I didn't realize I was a long form guy yesterday. Certainly went long. I did not plan that, but I'm passionate about defending Christ's glory and his obedience, no matter what Aaron Welch might say about me disparaging Christ's obedience. I'm not seeing it. I'm not the only one. Thank God. There are many people, of course, who understand that Christ created everything that came into existence. And apart from him, not one thing came into existence. But as I said, Aaron Welch does not believe that. He does not believe that everything came into existence through Christ. Does not believe that Christ had a glory with God before the world was. Does not believe that Jesus Christ took the form of humanity. Oh, no, wait. He does believe that Jesus Christ took the form of humanity, but he doesn't think he started taking the form of humanity until he started raising the dead and walking on water and changing water into wine, because we all know that most of humanity can do that stuff. So, yeah, doesn't believe that he was the Word, doesn't believe that he was the theophanies that the people in the Old Testament saw, which is John is saying God was the Word, the God of the Hebrew Scriptures. The theophanies that they saw was the Word, was the expression. It was Jesus Christ. Stephen Janowski is a great brother, smart guy, and he has refuted Aaron Welch's article on this topic, which is so nice to see other people doing this besides me. I love it. Here's his address. It's not too handy. It doesn't quite flow off the tongue, but it's Gerudo King 007, I should say 007, .blogspot.com. Here it is. I'll write it down here. Gerudo King 007 .blogspot.com. Go there. And what you want to do when you get there is on the left, he's written a series on Romans, which, and he's sent me some of it, and it's really worth you looking at. He's very conversational, good writer. And he's writing like crazy about Romans, and it's just really good. But underneath there, you'll see the beginning of Christ's pre-existence. I like that. In this article, he refutes, point by point, Aaron Welch's contention that Jesus Christ did not create the eons. All things are not through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not have a glory with the Father before the world was. Jesus Christ was not the Word. All these things, if you can believe it. Aaron Welch doesn't believe any of those things, but Stephen Janowski takes him to the woodshed in these articles. So thank you, Stephen. Now, I told you about Jack Stockdale last week, a guy that's trying to imitate Jesus Christ's work. Jack Stockdale is personally trying to overcome sin. He's personally trying to overcome Satan. Was not satisfied with Jesus Christ having done so. So he's trying to do it himself, to maybe recreate it or do it better. I don't know. But he's in this life or death struggle, and he's trying to draw other people into it. I went through the whole story about this guy, about how I met him 40 years ago and God separated us. God made me a vessel of honor who just says, oh, Lord, I thank you for justifying such a sinner as me. Whereas he made Jack Stockdale into a vessel of dishonor who says, I thank God I'm not like sinners. And I thank God that I fight my sin and I fight the devil and I overcame my propensity to disobedience, and I overcame the ironclad decree that no one is seeking out God, no, not one, because I sought out God. That's why I'm going to heaven and everybody else is going to hell. So that's a vessel of dishonor. He's the pastor of the New Song Church in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. One of our fellow believers, Bill Lenhart, who lives in Ohio, went to this church on Sunday. to see, he went there as a spy, to spy out the land, to see if there was any whisper about my shows. I made shows about the officers in this church, about how God's going to kill them during the tribulation because they're heralding lies and they're emissaries of Satan dressed as messengers of light. And Bill was wondering, I wonder if these people have gotten word of it. So he snuck in, actually shook hands with Jack Stockdale. This is hilarious. Here's a photo that Bill sent me of Jack at the front of the church. I'm paraphrasing Bill now, but he says, yeah, Jack was a nice guy. Seems like a happy guy, except for the fact, of course, that he doesn't have a freaking clue about Christ's work. Yeah, other than that, he's a great pastor. And he's leading people into every truth except the one that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and that Jesus Christ battled Satan, and that Jesus Christ battled sin and death, and he overcame it so that we don't have to. He doesn't know that part of it. So he thinks that we have to, like, improve on the cross, redo the cross. I don't know. But along that line, I thought of the sons of Korah. I think it's an interesting analogy to the Jack Stockdale types, who are not satisfied, who take issue, actually, with Jesus Christ's death and conquering of sin. Jesus Christ's death and his conquering of Satan must, on some level, though they won't admit it, take issue with it, have a problem with it, don't accept it because they're trying to do it themselves. It reminded me of the sons of Korah who resented Moses. Like, Moses, who are you thinking that you're the chosen of God? We can do what you can do. We don't like it that God chose you. You're obviously not the sharpest tool in the shed. You know, you're one fry short of a happy meal, Moses. And we resent you. We're going to do it. This really kind of reminds me of Stockdale. Not satisfied with Christ's work. It was nice that he said he did it, but we're going to do it. We as Christians are going, thanks Jesus, but we're going to conquer sin. We're going to conquer the flesh. We're going to overcome sin, overcome the flesh, overcome the devil. We're going to do it. So just sit back, Jesus, and watch us. You already did it? Well, yes and no. I mean, it didn't really count, see, Jesus. It didn't count. You just made it possible for us to, like, do it ourselves. Like, you showed us a model of how we could. So they say. So I'm going to read you from Numbers chapter 16. Tell me if you don't see this resemblance of these people who are not satisfied with Christ's sacrifice, Christ's work on the cross, and they want to duplicate it. The sons of Korah. I'm in Numbers chapter 16. Korah, son of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Levi. See, these were also sons of Levi, but not the good sons of Levi. Levi had weird sons, these guys, and he had decent sons. Arose along with Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, sons of Reuben. They arose before Moses with men from the sons of Israel, 250 princes of the congregation. They called to appointment men of renown. They assembled against Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a good idea to F with God's chosen people. They assembled against, no matter how ridiculous they look, no matter if they're broadcasting from their car, no matter how unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid they might be, don't fuck with God's anointed. Don't do it. It's not a good idea. But see, Moses was such a bumpkin, and he was such a non-personality. He didn't have those leadership skills or the speaking skills, perhaps. No, well, we know he didn't, because when he went to Egypt, he said he stuttered. He couldn't handle talking to Pharaoh, so Aaron did it for him. Went with Aaron. So Moses was very unimposing, and so it was easy for people to think that they could do what he did. We can do this. You people don't need Moses. We can be priests also. This is what Stockdale's doing. This is what Stockdale's doing. Anybody can do that. looking at Jesus on the cross. And since Jesus is mild and meek, the Lamb of God, and now that he's conciliated to the world now, and so he's pretty much laissez-faire, hands off, not imposing, obviously, that is, overtly anything, they think, well, he's okay with us not thinking much of what he did, so that we think we can do it too, and so we are going to compete with Christ. This is what the sons of Korah did. They arose before Moses with men from the sons of Israel. They assembled against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, enough of you. Wow, can you imagine looking at Christ and saying, enough of you? It's like, okay, we've had enough of you. Now it's our turn. Now, we're on the stage now. You did your thing. Yeah, you did something great, but that's in the past. Now it's us. Now, if you don't mind, we're going to do what you did. And because there's a bunch of us, because we're Christians, well, we might do it better. But we're going to impress the hell out of you when we attempt to conquer the devil, when we attempt to overcome sin and the flesh. Enough of you. For the whole congregation, all of them are holy. That is, we're all called. And in their midst is Yahweh. So for what reason are you lifting yourselves up over the assembly of Yahweh? See, Korah accused Moses and Aaron of lifting themselves up, saying that they're something. No, it was God who appointed them. And again, it was so easy to trip here because these men were so unimposing. Just like we, members of the body of Christ, are unopposing. And people don't think twice about coming against it. Like, who are you people? We're the spokespeople of God. 2 Corinthians 5. God is entreating through us. Be conciliated to God. You're the spokespeople of God. See? And this is what Jack Stockdale and other Christians say about Christ. You did this once for all time? No. We're the ones who complete it. See? You didn't really do anything. You just made it possible. This is what they literally believe, as you know. You didn't really do anything, Christ. You just made it possible for us to do something. You opened the door, and now we can go in. Your part's done, thanks. We'll finish it. And it's almost like they're saying, who are you to think that you finished it? Who are you to think that you left us with nothing to do? Then why are we even here, Christ? My answer would be to them, maybe you're here to thank Jesus Christ for what he did and to rest and to rejoice in his word and to herald the conciliation of the world instead of heralding turn or burn, instead of heralding obey Jesus Christ or go to hell for eternity. These people don't think that since Jesus Christ did everything, then what are we going to do? I don't know. I've been pretty much occupied full time for almost 30 years now, heralding what Jesus Christ accomplished. Heralding it against these people who say that he didn't accomplish anything. He just made it possible for us to finish the work. That's what they say. Sounds a lot like these people came up against Moses. And when you see their end, when you see what happens to these people, do not fuck with God's chosen ones. When you see what happens to them, the same thing is going to happen to Jack Stockdale and the other Christians and his leaders in his church. See, these are the leaders. But the other people went down with them. This is instructive. You'll see. It's very dangerous to go up against Moses and Aaron, even though they're bumpkins. It's also very dangerous. These people think they're playing it safe. Well, we're just going to complete Christ's work. No. See, it's very dangerous to even suggest, subliminally, even suggest covertly that the sacrifice of Christ was not enough. That's exactly what these Christians are saying. The sacrifice of Christ was not enough. Enough of you. Let me put this in the words of Jack Stockdale to Christ. Now, he's not saying this overtly, but this is what he's thinking in his mind. This is what all Christians think of their hearts, in their hearts. Enough of you. In other words, okay, you did your part. for the whole congregation, all of them are holy. That is, all of us that call upon your name, we're all equally equipped to do what you did. You overcame Satan, conquered sin. Yeah, okay. But we will also overcome Satan. We will also conquer sin. And if you didn't hear the show last week, go back. The show that names Jack Stockdale. I forget what the show is called, but look for the show that contains the name Jack Stockdale. They actually believe. He actually believes, and he exhorts other people in his congregation that they should overcome Satan. That they should overcome the flesh. That is sin. Enough of you. Okay, Jesus, you did your part. That's enough. Stand back. Watch us perform. For the whole congregation, all of us Christians, we're holy. And in their midst is Yahweh. In our midst is Yahweh. In our midst is the name of God. We proclaim the name of God. We do wonderful works in his name. You know how that's going to end for him. So for what reason are you lifting yourself up over the assembly of Yahweh? Jesus Christ, they don't say this overtly, of course. But this is what's in their hearts. Jesus Christ, why are you lifting yourself up over us, like giving us nothing to do? Why would you ever say that your work was completely complete? Beautiful redundancy there. And that because of that, we are now complete, apart from our works, apart from acts, apart from anything, a total work of grace. Why would you do that? Why would you not give us something to do? Why would you not let us? Because we are also of the congregation of Yahweh. We are also holy. Why would you not let us do an important and essential, here's the thing, essential part of salvation? That is, finish the job. Yes, they think that God calls upon them to finish the job. If Jesus Christ had finished it, then these people would not be born sinners doomed for hell. That's in their statement of faith at the New Song Church in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. That's in their statement of faith, as I read last week. That they believe everyone is doomed. Everyone is still under the wrath of God because of their sin. Subsequent to Jesus Christ's sacrifice for sin. What does that do to Jesus Christ's sacrifice for sin? It nullifies it completely, 100%. Who are you lifting yourself up? When Moses heard this, he fell on his face. See, when I heard it, I went into my car. When I heard this, Stockdale's telling his people that they're supposed to do what Jesus Christ already did. Moses fell on his face. I went into my car, turned on my microphone. I can't handle this. Then he spoke to Korah and to his whole congregation, saying, "In the morning, Yahweh shall make known who is his and who is holy. And he will bring him near to him. Whomever he may choose for himself, he shall bring near to him. This do." He's giving him like a contest. "Take fire pans." This is one of the pieces in the temple worship system. In the part of the legislature, the operation of the law. "Take fire pans. Stay what we're going to do. Take fire pans for yourselves, Korah and his whole congregation. Put fire in them. Place incense on them before Yahweh tomorrow. And it will come to be the man whom Yahweh shall choose. He is the Holy One." Enough of you, sons of Levi. Enough of you. I don't understand completely what kind of thing Moses had in mind with these fire pans. But that's okay. I don't have to. Verse 8 now. I am in Numbers chapter 16. "Then Moses said to Korah, 'Hear, I pray, sons of Levi, is it too little for you that the Elohim of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to him to serve in the service of the tabernacle of Yahweh and to stand before the congregation to minister to them?'" You see, these guys did have a role. These people who are now rebelling did have a role in the temple service. But it wasn't enough of a role. In fact, let me read this from a website, a terrible website generally, it's a Christian website. But the sons of Levi were Gershon, Merari, and Kohath. The Gershonites were responsible for the care of the tabernacle and tent, its coverings, the curtain at the entrance to the tent of meeting, the curtains of the courtyard, the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard surrounded by the tabernacles and altar ropes, blah, blah, blah. These other guys were appointed to take care of the frames of the tabernacle, the crossbars, the posts, the bases, and all its equipment, and everything related to their use, as well as the posts of the surrounding courtyard. So they all had something to do. But unlike the Gershonites and the Meratites, who were also allowed to transport the items under their care on carts, the Kohathites had to carry the items, the holy things of the tabernacle, on their shoulders. So they were incensed about this. It was too arduous for them. They were not content with their role. They thought they should have a bigger role. This is Christianity. Because see, Moses is saying, aren't you satisfied with just, you know, like having a role? You get to carry stuff. You have to carry it on your shoulder. You're not as important as me and Aaron, whatever, but aren't you satisfied? Well, Christ is saying to these Christians, aren't you satisfied that I'm calling you to take my name, although they take his name in vain? They're Christian. They're believers in name only. They're not actually believers. Isn't it enough that I told you about me? No, it's not enough for them. It's not enough that they're just having something to do with God. No, they need a big role. They need a critical role. They need, startling and pathetic to say, a decisive role, a critical role that actually kicks in their salvation. They want a role that actually makes them saved. They want to save themselves. And so they insist that Jesus Christ only made it possible for them to save themselves. It's not enough for them. This is why, I'll go back to the text. Moses says, is it too little for you that the Elohim of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to him, to serve in the service, to stand before the congregation, to minister to them, to the congregation? He brought you near, and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you. Yet now you seek even the priesthood? That's a quote. Love this quote. Verse 10, now you seek even the priesthood? It's like, it's not enough, Christians. Jack Stockdale, it's not enough. Kathy Spurlock, that you call upon me and that you're in the circle of my family. You want the freaking priesthood? You want to conquer sin and the flesh? You want to battle Satan? Jesus' head's exploding. It's like, what? Moses' head's exploding. Now you want the priesthood too? Now you want to conquer sin? You want to conquer the devil? Oh, this is a complete insult. In this context, it's an insult to Moses and to Aaron. In the Christian context, obviously it's an insult to Christ. Now you seek the priesthood? Now you want to pretend that what Christ did wasn't sufficient and try to do it yourself? Wherefore, you and all your congregation are set against Yahweh. They didn't believe that, I'm sure, when Moses told them that. You're actually set against Yahweh. You don't understand that. I would say to Jack Stockdale, you're actually setting yourself against Christ. You're an enemy of Christ. You're an enemy of the cross of Christ. You would never believe it in a million years, but that's what he is. And our friend, Bill, shook hands on Sunday with an enemy of the cross of Christ. Shake hands with him now, because he's not going to be around much longer. Wherefore, you and all your congregation are set against Yahweh. As for Aaron, what is he that you are grumbling against him? Like, Aaron was a nobody, but God had appointed him. It's the appointment of God that counts. Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab. Yet they said, we shall not come up. It's a little thing that you brought us up from the land gushing with milk and honey to put us to death in the wilderness. In other words, what you did, Moses, from the time of leaving Egypt till now, it's like, it's a little thing. It's nothing. It doesn't really count for much. Big deal. They're belittling what Moses did. Stockdale's doing the same thing. It's belittling what Christ did. Belittling it. So you went to the cross And he took on sin and he took on Satan, but it's just a little thing because it's not complete. You didn't really save anybody. You didn't save anybody at all. Otherwise, nobody would be born under God's wrath for their sin if you had done anything about sin. You see, I believe that Christ did do something about sin. He took it away. He took the old humanity away. And I believe that no one is born under the wrath of God for their sin. In fact, everyone is born conciliated to God because of what Jesus Christ did, because it was complete. And Jesus Christ did it 2,000 years before they were born. So everybody that's born now is conciliated to God. And it takes religion to screw that up. Send your kid to Bible camp. Send your kid to church. Why? You're going to screw up everything. They're going to get all this crap in their head. And they're going to turn into the sons of Korah. Then why isn't everybody saved, Martin? Everybody is saved. But not everybody comes into a knowledge of it at the same time. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. 1 Corinthians 15. 22. Moses' anger grew exceedingly hot. My car was getting hot too, I have to say that. I had the air conditioner on low. I didn't want to make too much noise. And he said to Yahweh, "Do not countenance their approach present. Not one donkey have I lifted from them, nor have I done evil to any one of them." Moses said to Korah, "Hey, yeah, I would say that if I'd taken any donkey from you, Stockdale, I haven't taken one of your donkeys. I haven't gone to your church. I haven't caused any trouble." Our friend Bill, he didn't cause any trouble. He just sat there very nicely in the shadows, observing. One of our spies trying to see if they knew anything about my shows. They did not. Did I do anything to you, Jack? Do I try to stop you? I will expose and rebuke you, but I'm not going to come to your church and physically keep you from doing what you're doing. I have nothing against you personally. You're just a false teacher. And you're an enemy of the cross, and God's going to kill you, and all that. So, Moses said to Korah, "You and your whole congregation come before Yahweh, you and they and Aaron tomorrow." And he goes on with his fire pan thing. Moses is obsessed with these fire pans. I don't understand why. But anyway, then the glory of Yahweh appeared to the whole congregation. Here it is. The next day, they assembled. Everybody assembled. The battle lines were drawn. Moses and Aaron over here, sons of Korah over here, trying to say that we're holy too. We want to be priests. You're not so hot. What did you do? You didn't complete it. We can do it just as good as you can. We can do it just as good as you can. And even better, probably. This is what the Christians say to Christ. We can do what you did. We can do as good as you did. Probably even better. Because what we do is going to actually make us saved. Our contribution is what saved. Saves. Jesus plus nothing equals nothing. Jesus plus our faith equals everything, i.e. salvation. What's the most important part of that equation then? Our faith. That's a lie, but that's what all Christian churches believe. Then the glory of Yahweh appeared to the whole congregation, and Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Separate yourselves from the midst of this congregation so that I may finish them." I like it. This is not eternal torment. God's just going to do away with them so they stop being pricks, stop being jerks, stop being self-righteous morons. God's going to eliminate them, get rid of the problem. It's not eternal torment. They're all going to be saved eventually. But in the meantime, they're going to be like eliminated. This is exactly what God's going to do during the tribulation with the religions of the world. And the purveyors of those religions, the heads of those religions, going to finally be done with them. How long has my collar been screwed up? Why didn't anybody tell me? Okay, here we go. It doesn't matter. Move away from the tabernacles. So Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel went after him. He spoke to the congregation, saying, "Withdraw, I pray, from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything which belongs to them, lest you be swept up in all their sins." Do not touch anything that belongs to them. I say to you, do not attend any of these churches. Do not touch anything that belongs to these Christians, because they're going down, and I don't want you to go down with them. They're foul. They're egregious to God. They're self-righteous, which is the worst sin. And again, I say this before, but this is such a great truth. Self-righteousness is a worse sin than whatever the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were doing. Isn't Sodom and Gomorrah like the ultimate example of evil people, sinning people? And yet, the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah will rise up and judge Jesus' generation. They will be treated better than the people who rejected Christ, because they were self-righteous, the people who rejected Christ. The Sodom and Gomorrah people, they weren't self-righteous. They were just nutso. They were just of the flesh. Self-righteousness is worse, which is why the self-righteous people get shown up and in some cases judged by the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, the people took heed. They moved away. And I hope you take heed and don't go to church. Don't go near church. Don't go near anybody that goes to church, in their church. I mean, I'm not saying not to socialize with people who go to church. Just don't go near their congregation. You don't want to be there when God strikes. Well, we won't be there anyway. We'll be snatched away before all this stuff happens. But just stay away from them. So Moses does this thing. Here's the fun part. Concerning those who opposed Moses, Moses says, "By this shall you know that Yahweh, he has set me to perform all these deeds, that they are not from my own heart. I didn't set myself up." I told you that last week when I talked about vessels of honor and dishonor. I didn't make myself a vessel of honor. God appointed me. I didn't do this. This is exactly what Moses is saying here. "By this you shall know that Yahweh, he has sent me to perform all these deeds." God has sent me to make this show, to herald the success of the cross, the completeness of the cross, to herald the grace of God in the present era, to defend the evangel of the grace of God, to keep all things foreign from it. God is the one that sent me to perform all these deeds. They're not from my own heart. I wanted to be a professional pool player when I grew up. Then Moses said, "Should these die the common death of all humanity, and should the visitation of all humanity be visited upon them, then Yahweh has not sent me yet." Here's the other option, people. Should Yahweh, say, create an unprecedented creation so that, the ground opens wide its mouth, swallows them up with all that belongs to them. And this is all just hypothetical. And, you know, they descend alive to the unseen. Well, if that should like happen or anything, then you will know that these mortals have spurned Yahweh. And the Christians have spurned Christ. They claim to be the great champions of Christ, the great heralders of Christ. No, they have spurned Christ. And it came to be, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground which was under them was rent, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the humans who were with Korah and all the goods. So they descended, they and all who belonged to them, alive to the unseen, and the earth covered over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. They went down alive into the earth, and then when the earth covered them, they weren't alive anymore. They suffocated. That's what happens when you get a bunch of soil in your mouth and your nose and 18 pounds of dirt on top of you. Tend not to be able to breathe. They went down alive. They were killed when the earth covered them over. It was a supernatural event. Yet all Israel who were around them, they fled. Yeah, at their voice, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up." Yeah, let's get the hell out of here. We don't want to get hit with a shrapnel. Then fire, it came forth from Yahweh and devoured the 250 men who were bringing near the incense. So these other people were kind of helping out the sons of Korah. Hey, we got some incense. Fire came down and devoured those guys. So These guys got swallowed by the earth. These guys got devoured by fire. God not happy with people who try to do what only he can do. God not happy with people who say, Moses, who does he think he is? We can do what Moses does and we can do it better. God not happy with people who try to reperform the acts of Christ by taking it upon themselves to conquer the flesh, to conquer sin, to conquer the devil. God don't like it. And he's going to devour these people. It's not going to be by fire or by the earth swallowing them. It's going to be by asphyxiation. Asphyxiation, yeah, because the 200 million supernatural cavalry that come up from under the ground at the river Euphrates, they breathe fire and sulfur. Could be. Some will be burned by the fire, but I think the sulfur is going to get to them, and they're going to die. All the leaders of the Christian church will die during the tribulation. A third of humanity is going to be wiped out. And God's first and foremost desire and wish when he begins to bring his judgment to the earth is to rid the world of its Christless Christianity.